Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Stephanie Boyd here. I am your host for the Bluegrass Bammer podcast, and I'm so excited. I just got back from Chicago this weekend running the Rock and Roll Chicago Half Marathon and participating in my first Bib Rave Pro Summit in Chicago, which is a weekend full of running fun with fellow Bib Rave Pros. And we had some amazing sponsors for that weekend, not just the Rock and Roll Marathon Series, but also Aftershocks and our partners Knock Around Sunglasses. So we had an amazing weekend. We participated in a lot of cool events, which you can read more about on my blog at bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. And it was just amazing. And although I was nervous to go and meet some Bib Rave Pros, I've been a Bib Rave Pro now for about a year. And for those of you that don't know, Bib Rave is the largest race review website of its kind. And ambassadors for that brand are actually called pros. And so we all get to test different products and review races on bibrave.com, which you can do also. So I highly suggest that you get on bibrave.com and take a look at all of the race reviews that are there. If you're thinking about trying a new race, new distance, or a destination race, this is the place for you to go to read reviews that other runners have put up about the race. So at any rate, I got to meet some amazing athletes this weekend. I got to meet the founders of Bibrave, Jess and Tim Murphy, who were amazing. All of the Bibrave staff were amazing, and they just really made the weekend very special. But there are four women who I have invited to come onto the podcast. They were my roommates for the weekend. They've been Bibrave pros for at least 2 years or more, and they have a lot of wisdom and laughter and great things to bring, not only to my life, but to yours now through the podcast. So I hope you enjoy listening to this as much as I did recording it. It was a great time. And I'm just going to turn it over to the ladies now so we can get started. Enjoy. Hey guys, it's Stephanie Boyd, the Bluegrass Bammer, back for another episode. And as you guys already know, I am here with some very special guests today, and I'm super excited about it because I have some fellow Bib Rave pros with me today. Yay! So I am going to, as you all know, if you're following me on social media or with the intro to the podcast, I was in Chicago this past weekend for the Bib Rave Pro Summit, and also ran the Rock and Roll Chicago Half Marathon and had some awesome women with me. We stayed together, we roomed together, and then we raced together. And I talk about that in the podcast or in the blog, but I wanted to bring it to you live on the podcast. So I am going to say hello to Amy, Jen, Jessica, and Renee. Hi, ladies. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you all on today. And before we get started, I would like to do a little bit of just round robin here, and everybody go around and tell us who you are and tell us maybe where you're coming to us from on the podcast. So what city or state are you in right now? And then how many years or months or however long it's been that you've been a Bib Rave Pro. So Amy, do you want to kick us off?
I will. My name is Amy. I am in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I have been with Bib Rave for almost 2 years.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Jen. I'm from Luray, Virginia, and I'm in my second year as well as a Bib Rave Pro.
So 2 years for both of you guys.
Yeah.
So far, you're winning. Okay, you're tied. Tied for oldest Bib Rave Pros on this call so far. Okay, Jessica, what about you?
I'm Jessica. I'm in Atlanta with my dog, Batute. So if you hear barking, that's why. Sorry. And I had to look this up after it kind of came up during the summit, but I've been a Bib Rave Pro since December of 2015. So I guess that's almost 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah, December 2015.
What about you, Renee?
I'm Renee, and I'm from Wisconsin, probably about 20 minutes south of Green Bay. I'm in a little town nobody really has ever heard of. And I have been a pro for a little over 2 years, I believe it is. It was a little longer than Amy, so right around that two-year mark.
Wow. See, I didn't know. I am the youngest Bib Rave pro in this group then. And so I was so nervous to come to Chicago and room with you all, only because first of all, I have to say I miss you guys now that I know you and I've spent the weekend with you.
I miss you all.
I feel the same way.
I feel like I'm having a Bib Break Pro hangover. I have a summit hangover. I don't know what that is, but I realized when I got home and checked all my social media stuff and was looking at everything, I was like, I don't have anybody to talk to about this stuff.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
Nobody really gets it.
Yeah. So I have to say I was really nervous though to meet you all because I was pretty new in terms of being a Bib Rave Pro. I've never gone to a Bib Rave Pro event to meet people in person. So this was my first summit and I had no idea if you guys had met each other before. So I was really, and you all have quite an impressive running resume or running history. I feel like it's really intimidating to walk into a room, a group of women that you don't know, and you know, like they're ultra runners, they're Ironman finishers, they ride bikes on gravel tracks and all these crazy things that I haven't done or that I want to do. And so I was really nervous. And then I walked in and I don't know about you guys, but I just felt like we had known each other, you know? And
for sure.
And we had known each other. Obviously we kind of interfaced, virtually, but it was just amazing to walk in and this feels right. This is, you don't know when you throw five women together in one hotel room, anything can happen, honestly. And I told my husband, I'm so nervous. This is not my usual running group. I don't know these women. Women can be scary and catty and competitive.
Sad, but true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was so relieved at how normal you guys were.
wait.
Speak for yourself.
I don't know how normal would be a good thing.
You can call us normal.
Yeah, I don't know how normal any of us really are.
Well, that's true. I mean, runners are kind of different anyway. So I did expect, not normal, but, some runners can be really weird. And so, being a Bib Rave Pro is not just about, and Jessica talked about this, I know, in her the summit, but it's more, a Bib Rave is more than just about race reviews and products and I've heard about this community and I've experienced it online, but until I met you guys, I really didn't know what that was. And so, for me, it was just amazing to get out of my comfort zone, come in and meet you all and just fit right in. I felt like to the very accepting in this community.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a great experience. Yeah, and I had a similar experience because I went to the running event in December with Bib Rave. There's about 20 pros who got invited to that. And it was like a similar experience, but if you can imagine, it was even busier.
Tell me, did you feel that way when you arrived? Or just kind of what were you nervous about coming into something like that? Or have you all been to in-person events before? Did you already know, other Bib Rave pros and know what to expect? Or is that just me?
I had one other experience in Houston just this past January where I met up with a couple of pros, and one of the pros actually invited us into his home, and it was a great experience over 3 days of just really everybody hanging and a lot of fun. Now, that went really well, but that's not to say that I wasn't nervous about Chicago, because I felt the same way that you did. I mean, I'm rooming with four other women. Jessica and I had met once before, twice before, pretty briefly both times. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, none of the rest of us had met, and you just never know how people are going to get along and how it's going to work out. But I agree, like, that it just was such a relief from the onset that everybody seemed to get along really well, and we just sort of jumped right into friendship. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, Amy and I have known each other for quite some time. So I knew I'd at least have one ally. No, but seriously, I'm very outgoing, and I've done things with people before. I did a Ragnar with people that I have never met. So I wasn't really too worried. I mean, you always take that chance of personalities not clicking, but I just didn't get that impression from anybody right from the start. So I knew that we would all get along, and I'm so blessed to have met you amazing women. And, you know, I think we're going to be friends for life no matter what.
Woo!
Yeah. Agreed.
For sure. I don't know. It didn't even, like, maybe because I've done it before, or I don't know, but or maybe just since being a runner, like, it honestly didn't even occur to me that I should be nervous. And
that's good.
I kind of felt the same.
But and I think some of that was we had talked before. You were all people who were like, yeah, you can put five people in a hotel room. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, so, and you're all, we're all, we have at least one thing in common. Like, we run and we're Bib Rave pros. Like, so you have that commonality. We're all running the same race. Okay. And I don't know. I think in terms of like five women, and if you're worried about, oh, women are catty or something, actually, like, I had very, very few women friends in my life until I started running. And so, which was good timing because it saved me from many dozens of weddings that I have not ever had to go to, because I had no, I had no women, really no women friends until my mid to late 20s. So, and all my close women friends are runners. And so I think when you meet women who are running, for the most part, like, anybody who's choosing to wake up and do these things has some sort of value for themselves that I think resonates in their relationships with other people. So I automatically kind of feel more comfortable with those people. So I felt, and this is not everybody, I can tell other stories as well, but like, I think in general, I have become more open to entering any environment where it's mostly women or all women because of the running community specifically.
Cool. Yeah. That's a great point. I grew up with boys. I grew up around boys. I didn't have any girls. And I did not know how to communicate with girls very well. I just kind of said the truth and And I found out very quickly, especially like in middle school and high school, that a lot of girls didn't appreciate that form of communication. And so I didn't have a lot of close women friends. And it really wasn't until I started running and found an all women's running group. That I was super scared of also, and walked into not knowing. I went to my first group run and I was petrified because I just didn't know what to expect, or I guess all these like childhood instances where I totally screwed it up, hey, we're coming back or something.
Aww.
And they were the most like accepting group of women. There was not a concern about pace or distance, or we all had that one thing, you know, we were just trying to fit our run in that day and stay sane. And yeah, you know, and some of those women now are some of my best friends. And so, yeah, Jessica, that's a good way to like kind of flip it a little bit and say, I would say my running group and the women who support me in that group have made me more confident and more self-assured of who I am. And they've also pushed me to do things I never thought I would do. And so I welcome that opportunity now. So even though I was a little bit scared to come into the group, I was kind of secretly like excited because you guys were a bunch of like running badasses, and I was, you know, I was excited for that too.
Yeah.
I think it was really neat.
So thinking about the weekend and all the stuff that we got to do, I missed out on the donuts and everything on Friday, but we did get to do the orange carpet and then Saturday the shakeout run and the Cubs game and all of that. Hands down, I want each of you to tell me what one thing was your favorite event or like thing that we did as a group of Bibbray pros for the weekend.
I think my favorite, oddly enough, was the shakeout run on Saturday, where we ran along the lakefront. First of all, just because that was a beautiful place to run, and I've never run there before. And I think it was just really relaxed, and we were like in our natural environment, you know? We were all doing the thing that we love and come together to do, but nobody was like racing or like worried about pace. It was just super duper relaxed. And I know it wasn't a very long run, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought, I just thought it was a lot of fun. And then chit-chatting afterwards, and even the taking photos part, which I'm not a huge fan of having my picture taken. It just makes me nervous, but just the silliness and the levity of that whole picture taking session, I thought was just really fun.
It felt like class photo day.
Yeah, but in a good way. Like I
yeah, in a good way.
To like hold my hand in some awkward way, and like it wasn't a green screen of the school books behind me or something like that. It was just, it was fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and I don't know that I could actually pinpoint like one thing, because even when I got home, my husband asked me, "Well, what was your favorite thing, or what was like the one thing that stood out?" And I'm like, I couldn't pick just one thing, just because each activity we did, everything that we did, just it was, you know, the way I look at it, it's like we went there and we were kind of spoiled.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, so how do you pick, you know, which way was I spoiled that I liked the most? And by the way, Steph, don't worry about the donuts, because I think I ate your share that you missed on Friday.
Man, that's a true friend right there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Renee? Did you say the shakeout run was your favorite? What was your favorite part? One thing.
Well, I feel the same as Amy. I can't really pinpoint a favorite part. But one thing I really want to say is how much I appreciated the concern from you ladies and the compassion with my foot issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys were always, you know, worried about me. Are you okay? Can you walk this far? And to me, that was so awesome. And I appreciate it so much. But like I said, I can't really pinpoint one specific thing, because it was just such a whirlwind of so much fun.
True.
Well, I would say that sleeping on that fold-out couch was my favorite part. I was fine the whole weekend. I got home and I have a bruise on my hip. So like,
oh, no!
The first night I slept so hard. I was so tired on Friday night.
Yeah,
I slept so hard I didn't even realize I must have not moved and just had my leg on like a spring all night long.
Oh so. My god! Oh no!
I agree. I love the shakeout run. I think I saw and got to talk to the most people at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't a pressure, and we weren't shoving, like we weren't sitting at a table and shoving food in our mouths, and we weren't distracted with other things. So I got to run with a couple of different people that I didn't know. And I got to chat with people while we were waiting for photos, and everybody seemed really chilled, which I really, really liked. And it seemed like all of the Bib Rave pros or the Bib Rave staff, like they were really relaxed, because I know they had to be stressed just, you know, making sure everything was ready for us for dinners and, you know, mm-hmm. coordinating, and like Carolyn just like running that whole show, and Tim and Jess being just really cool about everything. I think everybody just felt really good that morning.
Yeah.
Which I think helped the whole environment. And it wasn't a racing environment, Jen, you know? So like you said, people weren't stressed out about, because I don't know about you all, but the morning of the race, I did really well on Sunday morning, but I'm normally like really quiet. I don't, you know, talk to a lot of people on race morning. I like to kind of just get in the zone and be by myself, even if I don't have like a big race goal or anything. But I was totally relaxed around you guys and like chatted, and you know, I don't know, it was just a different feeling. I think I just liked how I felt, like the whole, it was very relaxed, even though we were running around like all week.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of back up a little bit and just talk about your running journey, because you guys have done some impressive things, and I want to kind of like spotlight each of you a little bit. And so maybe we'll start with Amy. If you guys just want to tell me or tell the listeners a little bit about.
What the hell is Amy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I have to tell this story before we
that had to be said.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
We all have, obviously, BibRec pros have social media accounts to talk about all the cool things in, you know, running related. And we all know each other by our social media handles, actually probably better than we do our first real given first and last names. And so in the text message chain on the way to traveling to the hotel to meet up with everyone, we were kind of all just chit-chatting, hey, I'm going to arrive at this time. Hey, I'm going to arrive at this time. And Renee texts, and which her social media handle, you know, in BibRec Pro, is she, it says her name. It says Renee. So in my text message chain, it said Renee, and she's like, I'm bringing Amy. I'm here with Amy and we're on our way. And I was like, who in the hell is Amy? And I thought we had a sixth person all of a sudden, because Amy's handle is either I Run for Bling or Crazy Hamster. So there was no Amy in my brain. Like, I hadn't even put Amy's real name in my text message chain yet. It was whatever they were in the BibRec Pro Slack channel. So I thought we'd picked up a sixth man there for a minute, but yeah. So who the hell is Amy was, it may be the name of this podcast actually. But no, seriously, I want you guys to talk a little bit about, just tell me when you started running and like, oh, that's my dog. I want you to tell me just kind of when you started running and kind of what is your motivation? Like, some people know exactly how many races they've run. I don't personally keep track. Like, I know what I've run for time, or like if there's a special race that I ran, but probably over the years I've run, I don't have any races I've run, but some people run like 60, 80 marathons. I mean, it's kind of crazy. But just tell us a little bit about kind of your, how you started running, and then what your motivation to continue running now is, you know, what is your why, or why do you love running? And let's talk about that for a minute. So Amy, do you care to answer a couple of those questions?
I think I can handle that. I walked my first half marathon in September of 2007. Before that, I had done a handful of 5Ks and maybe a 10K. And my old boss and I decided we were going to walk one of the local half marathons. And then after mile 7, we realized that we wanted to run.
Oh.
And then because we wanted to stretch our legs differently than just walking. Mm-hmm. And the following year I did 2 half marathons, and then I had IT band issues. I took a year off, and we joke around that I ran a couple half marathons. I got hurt. I got better and all hell broke loose. Mm-hmm. Because since then I have, the following year I ran 3 half marathons, and every year since then, I think I've done at least 10 every year.
Oh man.
In fact, Sunday was either half number 58 or 59.
Oh my God.
And then I've also finished 2 marathons, 3 ultras, and I'm training for 2 more marathons.
Woo!
Nice.
It just kind of all hell broke loose, and I kind of went crazy. That's where the crazy hamster came from.
Ah.
Because I have no desire to stop at this point.
Mm-hmm. So you're just on and that wheel. You're just going. Like, you're just on that little hamster wheel, and you're just going to keep going. Tell us about running journey. How did you get started, and what's your motivation to keep going?
I got started. This August will be my 10-year run-iversary.
Woo!
So I'm kind of excited about that.
Congrats. Yay!
Thank you. I was never a runner or an athlete of any kind growing up. I was one of those folks that was, you know, totally surprised by the fact that I became a runner later. Like, people that knew me in high school do not recognize me as who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was out and about in a coffee shop and I saw a flyer for a local 5K and I was kind of like, huh, I wonder, you know, could I do something like that? And so I did walk a lot at the time. I would walk my dogs and I had two daughters. At the time they were, I have two daughters and at the time they were 6 and 3, I think. Mm. Yeah. And so we would walk in, you know, strollers and stuff like that. So anyhow, when I looked at that 5K poster, I decided to try to, you know, run a little bit in between the walks and try to string as many little runs together as I could until I was running the entire length of my walk. And so I started running that August and then did my first 5K in October of that year, 10 years ago. And yeah, so like Amy said, I kind of, you know, broke open the dam and the 5K next became an 8K and then became a half marathon and a marathon. And one of my goals is to run 50 marathons by my 50th birthday. So mm-hmm. I do keep track of marathons. I don't so much keep track of halves and 5Ks and 10Ks and that type of thing. I still love them, but I keep track of my marathons because I have that 50 by 50 goal. And that's one of the things that keeps me moving and keeps me going is trying to hit that goal. But I think the other part is just, I do want to set a good example for my girls. I hope that this does set a good example for them. But even more than that, I just want to do it for me. I want to kind of get the most out of myself that I can mm-hmm. in this sort of go around in life. And I feel like running just, it does that for me. It brings out a side of me that I'm still not used to, and it's just gets me really excited when I can do something cool with running. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
All right, Jessica, I want to know, when did you start running?
I started running in August of 2007. Nice. And the reason was I was always active my whole life, but I've always struggled with my weight. I would always try out for teams and usually be on the team but be on the bench. Like, I was never a great athlete. But like being, you know, doing activities. And in August 2007, I was home. I was in between my 2 years of grad school. I, looking back on it, I was probably clinically depressed and I was living at home with my mom and dad for the summer at, in New Hampshire. And a friend of ours was competing in half Ironman triathlon on the lake. And so we went to cheer for him that day. And I watched like Ironman on TV and stuff. And you just have this vision of like these very athletic, like string bean type people. And actually the friend we watched, he is like that. And all of a sudden you show up at this event and you're looking around and there's people of like, not only all ages, but like literally all sizes. So like there were women there and men who were like multiple copies of myself in one person. Like there were large people who were doing this seemingly like amazing feat. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there watching and being like, oh my God, like it kind of redefined my definition of what an athlete is. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, like I have no excuses. So I came back to Atlanta to, you know, to continue grad school and signed up for the Atlanta Track Club training program for their Thanksgiving half marathon. So I kind of went right into it. I went right into it. The first race, that was the first race I ever ran, registered for and ran, was the half on Thanksgiving. I think it took me somewhere around like 3 hours at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a slow build right then. Like I, you know, would do kind of the fall half and the spring half. It was a couple years before I like really made it like a more like if you go more than 2 days in a row without running, you feel weird sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And then kind of the dam broke. And it was one thing after another. I ran my first marathon in 2012, which was supposed to be New York City Marathon, but we got to New York and then the race was canceled because of Hurricane Sandy. So I ended up running, my first was Chickamauga Marathon in North Georgia. It was actually lovely. And this November, I'll be running, I did look it up. I don't really keep track of all my races, but somebody had asked me. So this, mm-hmm. I will be my third New York City Marathon and my 20th road marathon overall. But wow. I've run a bunch of trail marathons, 50K, 50 mile. I've done a 100K and one 100 mile race. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Three Ironmans and one full Ironman. So the dam really broke.
I'm sensing a thing with everyone. I mean, it's almost like we're snowballs and we just keep going downhill.
Yeah, it's masochism by choice. Like you definitely mm-hmm. question your life choices when you're running a race and there's mm-hmm. people on course with a sign that their sign says only three more marathons to go. And you're like, what the hell is wrong with me?
That's just wrong. So, never made that sign. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I will have to say, I love it when someone comes and spectates a race for the first time. That's more like that. I've decided if I win the lottery, I may just spectate races forever or like crew people because that's I'm also a people watcher. So, mm-hmm. but I've been with people as their first time spectating, whether it's a 5K or a half marathon or a triathlon. And they're like, wow, these people look like me, or like, they don't look like that. What you see on TV, like everyone thinks you only look like elite runners to be able to do these type of races. And it is amazing to sit there and watch people cross the finish line and see what they look like. And so many shapes and colors and sizes, and I'm happy, always happy to see more and more women are running and doing races. So yeah, I can totally understand what you're saying in terms of, hey, these people look like me, if they can do it, mm-hmm. surely I can try.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I always, awesome. I specifically recommend the people, cause like, you know, most of my running friends are road runners because I live in the city and that's where we do most of our running. But mm-hmm. I have like a whole other segment of friends that are strictly trail runners. And I joke that I'm bi-race-al in terms of that I kind of live both worlds. Some people are very one thing or the other. But the mm-hmm. interesting thing about the trail community, I recommend for very road-centric runners and athletes to get out either – they don't have to run a trail race, but at least go and volunteer, particularly for the longer events. Mm-hmm. Like the humanity, like, and just the types of people and what people are going through at some of the ultra events particularly is absolutely amazing. And the women are mighty. I've been at many a trail event where a woman won overall, right?
Yes.
So not just first female, like won the event. It's more mm-hmm. common than you would think. So women are beasts, and you know, because trail and ultra is hard. And honestly, I just think for the endurance type stuff, like women like can suffer better.
Well, and there's more and more research out there that says women are better suited biologically for endurance events. I mean, we were made to have children. That doesn't mean that your purpose is to have children, but just biologically driven to be an endurance athlete by giving birth. Like, there are a lot of studies that are going on out now that are just showing biologically we're built to be, we may not be faster or stronger in every event, but we can probably go longer. We're built to withstand a lot more pain. and so, we're just kind of amazing. We're just built like that. So I totally agree with you. Women are starting to take over some of those endurance events. It's pretty awesome to watch. So Renee, tell us how you got into running and kind of what motivates you to keep running.
Well, I used to be a smoker. And in 2000, I mean, I had walked a half marathon and I would run like 5Ks here and there, nothing really, you know, substantial. And in 2004, there's a group of friends and my mom that were going to go do the Moore Marathon in New York. and you could either do the full marathon or you could have a group of two and you each did a half marathon and you total your time. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually quit smoking the day we left for New York.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And my goal was to do the half in 3 hours. I didn't want to go over that 3 hour mark, and it was 3 hours exactly.
Woo! That's nice.
Oh my gosh.
So I was happy with that. And then I just started running more and more. And I did do track in high school, but I sucked at it.
Yeah.
I was like always last coming in, and I kind of gave that up. But I guess what motivates me the most is my dad. He, in his day, he was a phenomenal runner, and he still competes. He does 5Ks, 10Ks, still does triathlons. To me, it's just amazing at 85 years old to keep doing.
Oh my gosh.
Holy wow.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
What?
He has no cartilage in either one of his knees anymore. And so I guess that's what keeps pushing me. Right now, though, with being injured, and I'm kind of like in a burnout, it's been really difficult for me to be running. And I've also had a huge weight gain with not running and the depression of not running. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't talk about that, but it can really mess with your mind and your body. And I have done, let's see, I've done 3 full marathons. And after the first one, I swore never again.
And course, don't we all?
Never say never.
Yep. And of course, my dad laughed at me. And within a couple months, I was not telling anybody, but putting in for Chicago Marathon Lottery. So that was my second marathon where I PR'd by 26 minutes.
Holy cow.
I'm very slow. I used to be a lot faster, and I know if I would train, I could be even better. But, you know, I just, right now, not the best time. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, because the Berlin Marathon was my bucket list marathon. So I put in for the lottery and got into that, and I ran that last September. And it was.
I'm just going to have you start putting my name into lotteries for yeah. me.
I know, right?
Well, I didn't.
No, actually,
Jen needs help with lottery. I need some serious lottery magic, people.
Renee, tell us your secrets off the podcast.
Well, for each race, she's going to take turns putting someone else's name in.
Well, yeah. I haven't gotten into New York or London yet, so.
Okay, yes, she said yes.
But I've done one triathlon, and I do not like it. I'm not a triathlon person, so, and I've done one ultra, and it's funny. I called my dad after I finished the ultra, and I said, Dad, I did it. I did 33 and a half miles, and his words to me were, oh, now you can do an Ironman next.
I was hysterical. Like,
no, Dad.
I like his brain, though. I like how he
But I haven't had the great experience like some of you women have with running groups. Mm-hmm. Our local running group, I will not join. Most of them, I feel, are snobby because if you can't run a certain pace or if you don't look a certain way or you don't weigh a certain amount, you know, you're nothing. So not the whole group is like that because my dad and several of my friends, good friends, are part of the group. Mm-hmm. And they're like the originals. And they're not like that at all, but there's a lot of them that are. So that kind of turned me off. And when you mention Moms Run This Town, I'm not saying all of them are like this, but I did not get a good feeling with the group. I just don't feel like I'm part of it or like I belong. Mm-hmm. But I have to say on the social media aspect.
Here comes the Green Bay to run with me.
with the Twitter and Instagram, the runners I've met on there have absolutely made me feel like I am part of this community and like I belong, whether I am overweight at this point in my life, whether I run 15-minute mile or an 8-minute mile. I feel a lot from the running community because of Twitter, because of BibRave, because of Instagram. I just feel like the people are more, I don't know how to say it. They're just more accepting.
Right.
And
you have to find your tribe, you know, you have to find that, or that's a, like a cliche term that's like overused now, but
it's true though.
You have to find that place you feel comfortable.
Yes. Totally agree. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, doing the best I can and just gonna hopefully get better soon and be back out there.
Yeah. I think I loved your attitude. I always err on the side of caution. I'm a really cautionary. Like if I even feel like I think I'm going to have an injury, I will just stop completely because I don't know if I'm a wimp or just I'm really worried I'll really injure myself and not be able to continue running. And it's my goal now, the last half of my life, that I have some longevity in my running. So even if that means I have to slow down or cut out running, cut out my mileage or whatever. And I'm super cautious, but I want to be like other runners and like just be brave. And I was really glad that you chose the path that you did because I could tell you were hurting this weekend and you still went out there and did an amazing job. And you just said slow. So in our running group, we're not so slow is a 4-letter word. It's a bad word.
Exactly.
It's a bad word. We don't use it, but we do use the S word. We call it sexy pace. So when we want to go like a slower pace, or we have a running group in our running group called the Turtle Club. So they're typically run like a 13 to 15 minute mile. Average pace, and they have sexy run. They have sexy pace runs. So if you want to
be a sexy runner, though,
so you just go out and you do your sexy pace, right? It's not your slow pace. And everybody has a sexy pace because you shouldn't run all your races at race, or all your training runs shouldn't be at race pace. And so that's what we call it. And if someone even says slow in the group, like 20 women will come in and be like, "We don't say slow, you know," because your pace is your pace. And it's just, I think women have a hard time. Men have a hard time. Runners have a hard time, like not defining who they are by a pace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I fell into that trap and then I got old. And decided I wasn't gonna try to define myself by my pace, but so yeah, sexy pace is like where it's at right now, by the way. Just want to tell you that.
I love it.
So
well, it's funny that you say that. Uh-huh. you know that slow is that 4-letter word. Well, in our running group, if you post something out like in our Facebook group or anything saying, "Oh my God, that run was so slow," or whatever, if you use that word, you owe $1 to the love jar.
I love it.
It's the fund that the race club uses for prizes if we do like monthly competitions or this and that.
It's just honor system.
Well, it is the honor system, but the next time you go to a group event, you owe, you know, your $1, your $2, whatever it is.
That's amazing. I love it. I should probably do that at home too, but a swear jar.
Well, we have one of those and we cashed it in when we moved, and I'm embarrassed to say how much money we got when we cashed that in.
You're like, ooh, but, vacation fund. Oh,
I let the girls split the money since they're the ones that don't really appreciate it when my husband and I swear, and we really don't swear that much, but when you have to pay every time, you'd be surprised at how often you realize you do swear.
My husband said they started a swear jar at work, and he went to his boss and said, "Can I just put $20 in, and then you let me know when I owe you more money?"
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm gonna definitely be putting money in around like mile nine through 11 would be a swear jar miles, and then mile like 19 to 21 would be swear jar money miles for me.
Yeah, for sure. Those are my worst miles.
Is
yeah.
that you all too? Or is, I thought that was just me.
The whole race for
it,
me.
It depends. It depends. And it's funny because if it's a marathon, like it might come at like mile 18, 16, 18, you know, the typical miles that people normally hit. But then it's completely different if it's an ultra.
So I might be completely fine in a ultra until mile 25, right? It's like very mental, very relative, very weird.
Yep.
But yep. You remind me, like, the swear jar for where at certain miles. I ran the Flying Pig, which I highly recommend, by the way, a couple years ago with some really good girlfriends. It was my best friend's first marathon, actually. And one of the girls who trained with us and ran with us, she got the three of us this tank top that says, "Sorry for what I said at mile 20.
I have that shirt too. My friend
I love it
for me as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's a great shirt.
I love it.
Yeah.
So if thinking about this, you know, some of the people that listen to the podcast are just starting their running journey, and it might be later in life, or maybe they're just not really confident yet in what they're doing. And, you know, I used to be that person that was like, I just want to survive. I just want to finish a 5K, which is great. But I could never put myself in that position to think about going, oh, I could never run a marathon or could never. I mean, eventually, obviously I did, but do you have advice or do you ever share advice with new runners that are like, I can't do that, or I just don't think I can do that, or I don't know where to start? I mean, what is like some tried and true tips that you've given people that you know is really solid advice for new runners?
My biggest thing is to just put one foot in front of the other. Start out walking and then maybe run a block. And then maybe the next time run two blocks and keep adding to it. And you can do it. I've had so many people come up to me and say, oh my God, you're such an inspiration, but I couldn't do what you do. And, you know, I'm like, yes, you could. If I can do it, anybody can. I never thought in a million years I would do an ultra marathon. Never.
Right.
And it's just a matter of putting one foot in front of the other and just going your own pace and doing what you can. And eventually you'll be surprised at what you can do.
Yeah, I have similar advice because people do the same thing. They'll ask me, you know, that I know runners that they can run, you know, 5-6 miles at a time. But they're like, I could never run 26. And I'm always like, you just take it 1 mile at a time. And same with training and same with the actual race is that, you know, it's not like you just go from running 3, 4, 5 miles to suddenly running 26. You know, 1 week you have a 5 mile long run and the next week maybe it's 6. It builds up a little bit at a time. And then the next thing you know, by marathon day, you're ready. And then the same thing during the race. You cannot imagine 26 miles all at once. Or I've never done an ultra, but I can only imagine that you wouldn't want to try to wrap your head around 30 miles or 50 miles all at once. You just 1 mile, run the mile you're in and then take it from there. So,
yeah, I'm a run lead with our training programs in Atlanta. So I have several pieces of advice that I, whether it's welcome or not, that I give to people pretty regularly. You know, I'm involved in the 10K half and full program, and they all kind of have people at different points. You know, 10K has a lot more true beginners. Half is people kind of trying to make that transition to something a little bit longer. And the full has more experienced runners, but then people really trying to, like, make that sort of ultimate goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that I thought, a couple things is, one thing is not every run is easy. In fact, a lot of them are not easy at all, but every run is worth it, right? You'll never regret getting out there and doing something and moving. And the other thing is, and this goes back to that four-letter word, as you said, when people are like, oh, I only can run this far, I only run this pace, or blah, blah, blah. Only is also, in my mind, a bad word. So I say, oh, and I can't, this came from somebody else and I can't remember who it was, so it's not my quote. Sure, I say, how fast does the average American run a mile? And people will be like, I don't know, 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, blah, blah, blah. You know, people throw out a couple of answers. And I say, the average American never runs a freaking mile. so you're already above average. And then just kind of generally, and Jen kind of hit on this, is like, you can't think in terms of the whole number, right? Like, you don't just suddenly run 26 miles or 50 miles or 100 miles or whatever. Like, you couldn't possibly do it. And when you're in it, you can't think, oh my God, I have 25 miles to go. Like, mm-hmm. you will go absolutely insane. So runners, whether they're good at math or not, suddenly become very good at math problems. and everybody has their different markers, but my girlfriend and I, we joke, we say, because the big race in Atlanta that Jen did recently is the Peachtree Road Race. It's a 10K. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be like, oh, we only have three more peach trees to go, two more peach trees to go. Because, like, there's something about, oh, it's just a 10K. Like, I can do a 10K. Or if it's just a 5K, it's like, oh, the 5K is my route around my neighborhood, like, you know, that I do on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so when you start thinking in those numbers, it becomes a little more, like, doable. But if you think about the big number, like, you literally, it will be paralyzing, right? So you can't really do that.
Yeah. It's that runner's math. You got to get creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amy, do you have anything else to add to that?
I was going to say, really, I mean, the rest of the ladies kind of hit on it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's, you know, don't worry about everybody else's pace. You go at your pace. Mm-hmm. And to quote one of the gals in our running group, can't is a word that should not exist also. You know, it's like people say, well, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, have you even tried? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing what you can do if you just, you know, go out and try.
Yeah. Yeah. I've surprised myself a couple times. Yeah.
I surprise myself every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I ran 2 miles today and I thought I was going to have a meltdown. And then I just thought, it's not as hot as it was on Sunday. I can do this. Like,
right.
There you go. Yeah.
So,
or better yet,
how hot it was.
I say, or better yet, it's not as hot as it was on Saturday when we were baking at the baseball game.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. I've done harder things. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that kind of brings us to the last question that I always do like to ask people, everybody that comes on the podcast at the end. Anyway, talk about BAMRs, which you guys know are badass mother runners. And that's just an all-encompassing term for women who, believe it or not, are lifting other women up in that way. And just really kind of giving props to women who are out there running. And sometimes men, too. I've called men BAMRs before. So I want to ask each of you, if you think of the term BAMR, like that kind of little acronym, what does that mean to you? What does a BAMR look like to you?
Oh, that's hard.
I would have to say it's just, you know, going out there, putting yourself out there, doing what you are inspired to do, mm-hmm. regardless of what anybody else tells you you should do, you can do, you can't do, whatever. You're going out and doing what you are inspired to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I agree too. And also just to, on the same line as that, everybody is different and what you do may not be what the next person does. So all you can do is your best. And as long as you're putting your best foot forward and trying to inspire, trying to, you know, be the best person, best runner, best mother, best whatever that you can be, that to me is kind of the definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, Jed.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think it's women or runners in general who look at hard things as being possible. And then people who generally take excuses and turn them into reasons. Mm-hmm. So take your excuses for not being able to do something and make it your reason for doing it.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I like that too. And I would just add to what everyone else is saying, because I really like what you guys have already said, just that I think BAMRs are women who kind of are willing to dig in a little bit. I don't think that you can be a wimp and a runner at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can just be like, you know, because just from the very first step, you're like, oh, this is going to be hard. Like, you have to have a positive attitude. You have to dig in a little bit. And whether for whatever your reasons are, you have to find your why and get out there and get it done. And that's what BAMRs are to me.
Mm-hmm. You're all of the things that you all just talked about. I mean, you're inspiring. You do really hard, sometimes what feels like really shitty things, and you get it done. You're very positive about it. You know, and you all just told your stories about, you know, how you got started running. And I mean, really, you took those, you could have taken excuses. You could have said it was too hard. You could have said, I can't lose the weight. You could have said, you could have let the depression take over. You know, but you all found reasons to turn those things really into reason to run and be healthy and just be like pretty much the most amazing people that you are. So I just really appreciate all of you. And I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, because I know there are other women that are going to be listening who, I get feedback from people like on social media about some of the podcasts. And so I can't wait to hear what they say. First, you guys are like some first, this is the first time I've had more than two guests on the podcast at the same time. So this is a record for five of us on this call. And then this is the first time that all my guests are not from Kentucky. So, or don't live in Kentucky currently. And so I just, I know people are going to be eager, because it's kind of a new thing on the podcast, two new things, but they're going to love your stories. And you all just, now I don't have an excuse not to do more badass things, because you guys are going to be watching. So I'm sitting here thinking, what else am I going to do? And all the great pro ladies are going to be watching me. So you guys will just be pushing me from where you're at all the time. You'll be in the back of my head. You have been this week since I left you all. And so I just want to say thanks for just being who you are and being your genuine, real badass self. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Stephanie. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Yes. So everybody can follow you on social media in the show notes. I will put like your social media handle. But if Amy, do you want to start? You guys can just rattle off where we can find you, like on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. Do you want to tell us?
Who the hell's Amy?
It feels funny every time I say Amy.
I know. Maybe it's only funny to us, but it's still dang funny.
It's funny. It's funny. I don't care who you are. Crazy hamster.
Uh-oh, did we lose her?
I'll put her stuff in the show notes. We probably lost her. All right, Jen, what about you?
I'm Jen Savage, J-E-N-N underscore Savage, S-A-V-E-D-G-E on both Instagram and Twitter.
That's a pretty badass running name too, by the way. Savage. You're Savage.
Savage. Well, my family did an adventure race together, and we were the Wild Savages. That was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, Jessica, where can people follow you at on social?
On Insta and Twitter. And my blog, I'm Fun Size Athlete.
Awesome.
Fun size.
Fun size.
You are fun size.
Yeah.
She can fold up into the third row seat of an SUV. Like
the kitty seat, the kitty table.
Kid table.
Okay, Renee, where can they find you if they want to follow you?
I am RunnerGirl1612 on Instagram and Twitter. And I also am on WordPress as RunnerGirl1612 for my blog.
Awesome. And I know Amy is on Instagram as I Run for Bling.
Yep.
But I'll put everything, all of her links or whatever, in the show notes.
Crazy Hamster on Twitter. Yeah.
Okay, see, I knew she was somewhere. So
I'm back.
Okay, there she is.
We were just talking about where everybody could find you on social, and I'm going to put everybody's social media handles and their links to their blogs in the show notes so people can find you after the podcast.
Sounds good. And, okay. And just a forewarning that after discussion, near future, my Instagram and Twitter handles are going to change to kind of match the whole crazy hand. You know, mm-hmm. I even confuse myself some days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll watch for the change.
One thing I want to say is this weekend I laughed harder than I have laughed in a long time.
Yeah.
I just
same please.
Ladies, that it was awesome, and thank you for all the fun.
Yeah,
likewise.
Yeah, thank you too. Same.
Yeah, I came home and no one appreciated my witty banter or my my willingness to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go do stuff. So yeah. All right, yeah. Guys. Well, thanks, and stay safe out there while you guys are running during the summer. Okay. And we're heading into fall soon, hopefully. But I can't wait to see what you guys do next with your racing, and keep on being badasses.
You too.
Stephanie, you too.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog. That is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me at Bluegrass Bammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.